Jeremiah chapter 33. We stand for the reading of God's word. Jeremiah 33, verse 1. And it says, "Moreover, the word of the Lord came unto Jeremiah the second time while he was yet shut up in the court of the prison, saying, Thus saith the Lord, the maker thereof, the Lord that formed it, to establish it. The Lord is his name. Call upon me, and I will answer thee, and I will show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not." Amen. You know, when we need prayer, a lot of times we think it's best to go to the minister. Maybe go to that Baptist minister down there and ask him for prayer. But you know what? We all have equal access to God. Amen? Amen. And in fact, the most powerful prayers do not come from Baptist ministers. They come from convicts. The most powerful prayers, it's been people who've been God's people who've been thrown into prison. An example, there's Daniel, the Apostle Peter, Apostle John, Apostle Paul. See, doctrinally, of course, Jesus Christ here is talking about, you know, to set the prisoners free. But we're not talking doctrine today. We're talking about prayer. Prayer. And it says in Jeremiah 33:1, it says, "Moreover, the word of the Lord came unto Jeremiah the second time, while he's yet shut up in the court of the prison." Now, you may not be in a real prison, but you may be shut up with no way to get out, or you're shut in from all directions. How and why does God put us in such a position where there is no exit, where all the exits are closed, and there's no way out except God? I mean, history is full of faithful men who have been shut up, not for any reason, not for any criminal conflict or thing that they have done. And you, who also have been faithful ministers and faithful people of the Lord, I mean, there's been times, I'm sure, when you found yourself in a situation. Maybe you're in a situation right now where there seems like there's no way out, where there seems like you cannot figure it out, where you cannot work it out, and where you cannot do anything but just look to God. And when you find yourself in that position, great news, you are in great company. Some of the most powerful prayers happen in times like this. And God has a purpose in it. And so this is what I call a prison prayer. Prison prayer. As seen in there in verse 1. It says, "Moreover, the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah the second time while he was yet shut up in the court of the prison, saying..." So this is the second time that God has talked to Jeremiah. And of course, when we look at the second time here, the first time we could find, or before the previous time, was in chapter 32. And there God told Jeremiah to buy a piece of land and secure it with a deed. He says, "Go out there and buy. I want you to buy this piece of land. I want you to secure it with a deed." That's what he told Jeremiah to do. And Jeremiah did what God, he's a faithful man of God. He's a prophet of God back there in the Old Testament. And he went out and bought that piece of land. He got the deed. But later he had some questions. He had some questions he needed to ask of God. See, he had been preaching the message that the Babylonians were coming. They're coming to conquer his country. And it would be 70 years before they could return back to that land. And in fact, the Babylonians were already starting the conquering of that moment, the very moment he was buying that piece of land. And Jeremiah, he's an old man. And he says, 70 years, you know what? I'm going to be dead before 70 years up. And so, he would never see that piece of land to enjoy it in this life. So the question is, why, God? Why? Why buy this piece of land? You know, the answer, God promised Jeremiah he'd be back in a resurrection. He'd be back in life beyond this life. There's more to this life than just this life, amen? And he said, a reason. And Jeremiah had done what God had told him. He obeyed God without fully understanding. And he asked God later and afterwards, why? And I'm sure many of us have been in situations where we say, God, why? Why am I in this situation? Why, God, is this happening to me? Why, God? And when you're boxed in and you don't understand, and with no way out, there's only one thing that you must understand. God is wanting to do an attitude check on you. He wants to see your commitment check to see if you will obey His word. Will you completely obey His word to follow that instruction to the letter, even before you fully understand everything and all the details? No, Jesus said in John chapter 15, verse 4, Jesus said this. He says, "Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except you abide in the vine, no more can you except you abide in me. I am the vine. He said, you are the branches. He that abideth me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me you can do nothing. And if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will and it shall be done unto you. See, the point here is you must be abiding in Jesus Christ. You must be connected to Jesus Christ, just like a branch to a vine. I mean, a branch not connected to a vine just withers and dies. But we must be in Jesus. We must be into His Word. We must be seeing Him. I mean, God did not make robots without feelings. But God wants us to trust Him. But we have moments when there seems like there's no way out, and you simply have to obey God. And you have no idea how it's going to come out. No idea whatsoever how it's going to come out. And that's exactly Jeremiah's position. How about you? Are you there? I mean, without this basic attitude, you have no foundation for effective prayer. It will either be a self-perspective prayer or it will be from God's perspective. That is why a prison prayer is so important. If you're going to do something for God, there will be a time of impact in your life. And you'll be boxed in by circumstances of none of your own doings. And God will check your attitude by shutting you up and shutting you in. There. And that is so you can understand the premise of prayer. And that's what we're going to see in the next verse. It's an incredible verse, verse number 2. Many times people don't want to have, they don't want to read the first verse where about the prison prayer where they're shut in, there's no other way but turn to God, and they can't figure it out. They want to skip number 2. It talks about the premises of prayer that you need to have in your life. They like to jump to verse 3, which is the promise of prayer. But let's look here at verse 2. Let's see the premises of prayer. See what God is saying about prayer and your relationship with God. And it says in Jeremiah 32, look at it. Thus saith the Lord, the maker thereof, the Lord that formeth to establish it. The Lord is his name. It says, so the first premise of prayer is based upon the word of God. Thus saith the Lord. Thus saith the Lord, repeated many times in the Word of God. Especially when it comes to Jeremiah, you're reading through the prophet Jeremiah and what he wrote. You'll never understand prayer without first having an understanding of God's Word. In fact, turn to Isaiah chapter 46, verse 9. Isaiah 46, verse 9. And we can find an example of this right here. It says in Isaiah 46, verse 9. This is God speaking. Isaiah, the prophet Isaiah, has wrote down what God told him. And God said, remember the former things of old, for I am God, and there is none else. I am God, and there is none like me, declaring the end from the beginning, from the ancient times, the things that are not yet done, saying, my counsel shall stand, and I will do all my pleasure. Calling a ravenous bird from the east, that man may execute the counsel from a far country. Yea, he says, God says, I have spoken it, I will bring it to pass, I will purpose it, I will also do it. See, God says, there's nobody else. I am God. There is no other God. I tell you what's going to happen from the beginning. I can tell you what's going to happen on the end. I know, I see the whole picture. I see the whole thing. And he said, if I said it, and if I said something, he said, there I will bring it to pass. If I have spoken it, I will bring it to pass. I have a purpose in it. And he says, I will also do it. You have a guarantee in prayer set in this book, the Holy Bible of God. And what God has said from the beginning, you'll get it from God. God said it, He will do it. Let me repeat that again. If God said it, He will do it. And if you can find it in the Word of God, it will come to pass. John 15:7, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will and it shall be done unto you. The key to prayer is knowing what to pray. The key to knowing what to pray is knowing God, God's will as expressed in God's Word. Remember why this is an incredible promise. It's found in 1 John 5:14. He says that this is the confidence that we have of Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, He heareth us. And if we, and we know that He heareth us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desire of Him. His will is in His Word. Most don't get it and just keep running off at the mouth, right? I mean, it's like they give a shotgun prayer. Boom. I hope God grabs one of them when I shoot it up in the air. See, that's like a guy who shoots up in the air hoping he'll hit a bird or something up there. And many prayers are just ritual, religious superstitions. Instead of searching God's Word for God's purpose and taking them back to God so you can combine your life with His purpose. You have it heard it said, prayer does not change things, prayer changes us. Prayer lines us up with God's Word. So that's the first thing. The second thing, second premise found in prayer is found here in verse 2, in the middle of the verse. And don't miss this, okay? This is the most misunderstood aspect of prayer. It says in Jeremiah 32, the middle of it, thus saith the Lord, the maker of thereof, the Lord that formed it, to establish it. See, prayer is not only based on God's Word, prayer is based on the creative and purpose of God. The reason most prayers don't grab God's heart is because prayer is from man's perspective. Start by a commitment to obeying God with or without understanding, okay? God is the Creator. He made it. He knows it. He will fix it. He can fix it, and He will fix it. Amen? And we underestimate the importance of the doctrine of creation. The example is Job, when he was demanding an answer from God. He says, why am I going through all the problems I'm going through? I've lost my family. I've lost my health. I've lost my wealth. And he's asking God, why, God? Why have all these things have happened to me? And God showed him. He says, let me show you the big picture, okay? And God showed up, the Creator. And when he seen the creation and saw what God had in the big picture, it says that Job just repented. Job says, I have heard of thee by the hearing of the ear, but now my eye have seen thee. Wherefore I abhor myself and I repent in dust and ashes. He says, like many of you, we just heard about God. But one of these days you're going to see God. And it's just going to, the awesomeness of God, the Creator and the creation, I think we'll just be like Him. We're going to say, I just abhor myself. I'm just going to fall down before Him and worship Him. Isn't that what Isaiah said when he saw God? Woe is me. When he found himself in the presence of God, woe is me. I'm a man of unclean lips. I live among a people of unclean lips. He says, I'm done for between a holy, holy God. Amen. And that's where we would be when we meet God. And we're all going to meet that God someday, one way or another, either in heaven or in hell. And so he said, so we are concerned with the things of this life, man. We're concerned, all the things. Why, God? Why is this? We're concerned with our cars, our houses, etc. Most people out there don't care about who created it, the creation. You know, in Jesus Christ's prayer, it states this, our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. It did not say, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. I have a problem. See, in prayer, don't forget the purpose of God. Purposes of God. The example is when we pray for the peace of Israel, right? You know, the Bible says there is no peace coming for Israel. You know, peace is only in the person. Even so, come Lord Jesus Christ, amen. There's where the peace is going to be. Now the third premise there is found at the end of verse 32. And it says, the Lord is His name. Now if we don't know the creation or His purpose, and we don't know God, who God really is, or who Jesus Christ really is, we will not understand that growing relationship we need to have with God. Don't forget who He is. You know, Moses came to the mountain as God commanded him with the tablets. And he was up there with the tablets there, up there, right? And God again appears unto Moses. And the Lord descended in the cloud and stood there before him and proclaimed the name of the Lord. And you know, when the Lord shows up and proclaims his name, maybe you ought to listen to what he has to say. And he said to Moses, and probably a good advice for us too, he said, the Lord passed by before him and proclaimed, the Lord God, merciful, gracious, long-suffering, abundant in goodness and truth, keeping mercy for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin, and that will by no means clear the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children, upon the children's children, unto the third and fourth generation. And Moses made haste and bowed his head before the earth and worshiped. In other words, when God showed up, Moses made like an ostrich and got down quickly, right, and bowed before God, just like Job. But notice that prayer is based upon the name of God. Reason today in the New Testament we pray in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. I mean, it's not a magical formula, okay? I mean, it's okay to do. It's okay to pray. But understand, you don't even have to say it, right? To do it. Understand that what you're doing, you know, we're immortals. We walk around here and go into the very presence of God. God has opened that through, but Jesus Christ dying on the cross, he's opened it so we can go to the very presence of God in prayer. We don't do it because of who we are. We do it in Jesus' name. Example is when someone goes in the name of the president, right? They go representing the president. They go in the president's name. They're representing him, right? The same is true in prayer. You don't go there because you have a right to be there, but you're there in Jesus' name. Amen? See, you know, the devil will go up there and accuse you. So, well, you don't have, who are you? What right do you think you have to come to the holy, holy throne of God and ask in prayer, ask anything? The devil says, who do you think you are? You know, who are you? And our answer would be, I am nothing, but I come here in the name of Jesus. Amen? And that's the reason why I have a right to come to the very throne room of God, because of Jesus and what Jesus Christ did on the cross of Calvary. So, the first premise of prayer is based upon the Word of God. The second premise, prayer is based upon the power and purpose of the Creator. You know, get the big picture of the whole thing. The third premise is prayer is based on who Jesus is in His name. And now we finally come to that part where it talks about the promise of prayer. And it says there in chapter 33, verse 3. He says, call unto me, and I will answer thee, and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. See, you must do the verse 1 and 2 first. Be in that prison prayer. Get in your right perspective where your perspective needs to be. Get into the verse 2 where it talks about the premise of prayer, but it's based upon the Word of God coming in Jesus' name. You know, and God initiates the talk. He wants to talk to you. God really does. He wants to talk to you more than you want to talk to Him. And God opens up and He says, call unto me. See, prayer is not complicated, okay? I mean, people say they get their formulas, you know, they get their prayer calculators, they get their prayer blankets, they get their prayer books, they get their prayer guides, right? People think they have to do it just right or God won't hear them. You know, God's got a little checklist up there just checking off if you're getting all your things right, right? And He says, oh no, you missed one. Sorry, I can't hear your prayer today. No, God in heaven said, call unto me. Amen. I mean, He's not telling you how not to pray. He says, just pray. Amen. Just talk to Him. He says, talk to me. All you need to know is call unto me. That's what God's saying. I mean, there is a promise of fellowship. There's a promise of response from God. See, call unto me and I will answer you, God said. Prayer is not just a one-way street. God is to speak to us. We must learn to be quiet and listen. Hard to do, I know. Lots of we like to talk all the time, but we need to listen for what God wants to say to us, right? We must learn His Word. His Word. We must learn everything God has said. I mean, He's already said it. He says, call unto me and I will answer thee. You already have His Word. You already have His Word. They're right there in your King James Bible. God has words He wants to talk to you. And he's got them right there. All you got to do is pick them up, and he's talking to you right there through the Word of God. Call unto me, and I will answer thee. Oh, I don't know, God. I don't know. What? He's there, you know, you're sitting there with God's words in your hands. Look for him. He's talking to you. He wants to talk and communicate with you. Oh, don't make it complicated. It's not complicated. Prayer is not complicated. He said, just call on me and I will answer. I will talk to you. How? When? What? It's right there. You have it in your own hands. Sitting right there in your lap this morning. He says, call on me and he will have fellowship. He will respond. He will have a promise of a revelation from God. Call on me and I will answer thee and I'll show you great and mighty things which thou knowest not. God is not, did not promise to satisfy all our carnal curiosity. He promised to take us into his counsel so we could see the big picture, right? Even though we don't always see all the little details and don't understand everything that's going on in our life, he says, here's the big picture. You know, don't lose perspective of where things are going, God's purpose in this world. He says in 1 Corinthians 2:9, but it has been written, I have not seen nor ear heard, neither hath entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. See? All you have to do is ask. The bottom line to prayer is not that hard. It is not that complicated. It's just talking and have a conversation with God. Amen? See, totally commit to obeying God's word, and even though you don't understand all the answers, okay? Commit to the big picture, seeing God's purpose of the universe. Abiding in Christ and his word so that he can answer, showing you great and mighty things. And you know what? He will. He'll show you things. Open up that word of God. Talk to him. Listen to what he has to say. Remember, it's not just a one-way street. And I'm hoping that we take these prayers, these messages of prayer, you know, the message of prayers that I know I need in my life. And I'm hoping there's these things. I'm doing these lessons because I need them. Amen. I need to understand prayer more. I need to know prayer. And I'm hoping that we're taking these things to heart and learning us more in prayer as we go through these messages on prayer. Amen? Now, if you don't know Jesus Christ, your Lord and Savior, you don't know if you die today. You see me afterwards and say, you know, I don't know for sure if I die today, if I go to heaven. You talk to me. Let me show you from God's Word. God promises you. He says, whosoever call upon him, all you got to do is talk to him and call upon him for salvation based on what Jesus did, not on you, because none of us are good enough to go to heaven. That's the reason why we accept the blood atonement of the Lord Jesus Christ on the cross of Calvary to cover our sins. Because without that, we'd all be lost. Amen? Amen.